want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is stage names. It bears repeating that all of what we actually know of William Shakespeare for certain could fit within a single sheet of paper. Let that sink in. We know more about scads of today's 10-cent celebrities. The Bard of Avon wrote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts." With that in mind, today's show is on the malleable nature of words in food. In her book, Food in History, Rhea Tannehill wrote, "As new settlers arrived in America, they introduced their own traditional dishes, adapting them to suit the materials available. Inevitably, the American cuisine became, in time, a mirror of history, the names of its dishes reflecting the medley of its people, religions, wars, place, and even occupations. There were ambushed asparagus, shaker loaf, burgoo, Maryland chicken, snickerdoodles, spoonbread, cowpoke beans, hush puppies, jambalaya, pandowdy, Boston baked beans, Philadelphia pepper pot, Moravian sugar cake, Swedish meatballs, haymaker switcher, and whaler's toddies. And some people wonder where I get some of the names of my dishes. When I was a lad, I remember being taken to the big city of Chicago with my paternal grandmother, a woman we grandkids affectionately called Gra. I was a wide-eyed boy of perhaps 7 or 8, and the incredibly tall buildings and the bustling city streets were a big change from the country life of where we lived. Gra took my little sister and me to a restaurant. It had to be one of the first she and I had ever been in. As I think back, on it, the menu offerings were a pastiche of continental terms meant to engage the people of that era. It was around the time the avuncular-looking Eisenhower was leaving office and the charismatic Hollywood-handsome John Fitzgerald Kennedy was entering it, along with his French-speaking beautiful wife, Jacqueline. We received our menus from a man in a suit and tie with solemnity. I studied it, as you might imagine, a boy-aged Norman Van Aken might. When the chopped sirloin steak arrived, I was completely deflated to see it was merely a hamburger. When I'm writing my menus, I often change the names of some of the elements in a given dish to keep it in symmetry with the overall identity I wish to predominate. Unlike the example above, I feel it's fitting I find them a new stage name to foster my overall desires. For example, if I'm going to serve a dish that is traditionally Spanish, such as gazpacho, but I'm going to present some raw or barely marinated scallops sliced thinly on top, I wouldn't write gazpacho with a sashimi of scallops. It would seem skitsy to me. I'd write gazpacho with scallops crudo. It makes it flow. It's less like cultural bungee jumping. Understanding language, and in many cases the origination of words, helps us understand food and learn more about the vast histories of the food cultures that have made our human story so intriguing. Tradition and invention are part of the hallmarks of our New World cuisine. Stage names help to convey a most mouth-watering anticipation, if done with care. And speaking of stage names, did you know the handsome, ultra-suave actor Cary Grant's real name was Archibald Alexander Leach? I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food. The name game. Shirley, 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 Bo Burley, Bonanza.